That's my version of an animal hearing the sound of the can opener.
Yeah.
I just start this.
You don't even, your cats don't even need a can opener. You just have to pick up newspaper and say, fancy food.
Oh no. You don't know the whole production that goes into that. Now.
I mean, you go into a production, but those cats know. You crinkle some newspaper.
Just like
they
the
think
show,
fancy food is coming.
You've been absent from the house for several months. Hi, Allison.
Hello, darling.
We've also got Howard. Howard, let's adjust your levels one final time. Or are you
all
just...
right? I don't know. I mean,
oh, now you sound better.
I was pretty excited when we did mic check earlier.
He was looking like a puppy who needed a belly rub. He's all sprawled out.
He was turgid. That's what he's saying. He had to do the belt loop tuck.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
But my mom, she goes nuts for that now.
Yeah.
That is her moment where she is the center of not one, but two beings' universes.
Yeah.
I wish she would take the burden off of my brother and I and just move into cat ladyhood. Because the cats are, they're friendly.
Yeah.
They are ready and waiting to be her little buddies.
Yeah.
But she does a special voice. She goes, what time is it? And they lose their minds.
Oh, no.
I swear to it's like.
But she does that for her sons, too.
It's like the
what time is it? Chick-fil-A. And then she shakes the bag.
Take my temperature, mommy.
Take my temperature. Best line of the critic ever. Just Google critic take my temperature for a treat.
Who was the critic?
John
Jay
Lovitz.
Sherman.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. The character's name.
Character's Jay Sherman and the voice is John Lovitz.
Yeah, I thought so.
A very uneven show. A show that maybe had the most brilliant debut episode I have ever seen. Anything.
I just watched this thing on Netflix. I say just, but it's been a few weeks ago where they were doing, it was Michael Ian Black and he interviewed.
Bored already. Continue.
He interviewed Mike Myers, Seth Myers, and.
Michael Myers.
No. Who's the.
What name of character?
Mitty. Who played in the Mitty movie?
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
Yeah, what's the...
Ben Stiller.
Yeah,
Ben
Stiller, there you go. Yeah. Right. I don't know why I could... Anyhow, they were talking about... They wanted to know who was the funniest person they knew. That was the question that was asked of those three guys. Michael Ian Black was doing the interviews, and they said, who's the funniest person you know? And they're like, celebrity, who... You know, whatever. Ben Stiller, he said...
His dad?
No. He could have said his dad, but no, he did not say either one of his parents. But he was saying...
as long as he didn't say himself.
I think everyone... He's the one that produced it, so anyhow, they were saying, and Mike Myers said, you know who was one of the funniest people? They all had great admiration for Phil Hartman. And, you know, him.
It's such
and
a safe pick, though. I mean, I'm not saying you don't love the guy, but...
They said he was very good with improv, and he was very good with those kinds of things.
Well,
he was out of the
Groundlings Theater, so that would make sense. It's now renamed. I think if you go inside, this is showing off that I've been there once. The big main theater, I think, is named the Phil Hartman Theater at the Groundlings.
Great.
But they were saying that he was just a genius, and Stiller's was Gene Wilder and those kinds of things, and those older movies, whatever they were.
Because you can't insult their picks when they go for the dead guy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he didn't say Phil Hartman was his favorite, but they
it's
were
like,
all
like, "Who's your favorite guitarist?" Yeah. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, what could have been? Oh,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, but, what could have been if Jimmy died?
Yeah,
he would have been worthless for 15 years, and maybe if he was lucky, he would have recorded a Supernatural type thing.
But Mike Myers had said, he said one of the funniest people that he knows, just all around funny on, funny off. Funny, can be improv, can do whatever, is John Lovitz. And he said he's just a funny guy to be around.
Really?
He seems like he's the same on and off.
Yeah,
camera.
And they say he's got such a quick wit, and it's so dry and in the moment.
He said, I enjoy him, but he's not that funny behind the camera. I'm sorry.
Well, I think, but as
in
his
front
pal.
Of the camera.
Yeah. Sorry. I think as his pal. But they were saying, Mike Myers says, he says, I know some of you are going to maybe take this wrong, but, I mean, in the moment, it was just, the situation kind of needed some levity, and it's really what we needed, and it just was right on spot, and he didn't miss a beat. But after Phil Hartman...
What situation was this?
Yes, he
said... Were they recording September 12th, 2001?
Yeah, he said, right after Phil Hartman died, and they were walking into his funeral, Mike Myers was having a conversation with John Lovitz, and he said, you know what, I just can't believe it. Like, some of them were saying, you know, I just spoke with him. And Mike Myers had said, you know what, he was shot. I can't believe he was shot, and he was killed, and he's gone, and he's dead. And he was just kind of this whole surreal kind of thing. And John Lovitz said, without missing a beat, he goes, I think you're making this sound worse than it is. Oh. And he said, I just lost it. And it took me a long time to regroup. It's just like... It was the best ever. And he said, you know what?
I instantly respect him so much.
He said, I think you're making this worse than it really is. Yeah. So it was a great story.
I love anyone who just has the balls to go for something horribly inappropriate.
Well, I think Gottfried is taking a lot of that, like, because he'll say those things. I'm sure those are the things that he says with his pals at the coffee shop, but they've actually been aired, you know what I mean? He's gotten a lot of trouble for those kinds of things. So, I mean, you didn't see Lovitz saying this on a talk show. It was just two pals talking about it, you know, but... Really, I mean, that's great, you know. Just, I think you're turning this molehill into a mountain. Take it down a notch, Mike.
Let's do our intros. Let's bring all the momentum we built to a crashing halt. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio. Howard Flood across from me on that mic.
What's up?
But on my left, Mike.
Yes, that's me.
It's been a while, Allison.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
Why have you left us?
I just wasn't invited back. I believe that's what happened.
Oh, really?
Really?
According to my mom, you met someone and fell in love, well, and that's why none of us have
that
seen
could
you.
Be. You never
did
know.
You? Are you getting...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that the universal sound?
That's how I pantomime sex. I don't actually use the finger into the okay
it's the
sign.
Arm.
Yeah, I give the old fist-a-rooney, like you're trying to inseminate a milk cow.
Ay. Cracking the seal on
is
a
there
stand
anyone
pipe.
Am I blowing up your spot? Do I have to keep it secret because of all your internet boyfriends?
No. There
Thomas
isn't.
Block, the latest one.
That's right. With his baby.
With his baby.
Him and his baby. They've been taking me out.
What was his Facebook comment? He was like, seeing Allison's jugs makes me as happy as seeing my child smile or something like that.
That was
pretty good.
That was quite it, but
I like equating the innocence and purity. Of both of those things.
I think he was his childlike smile that he gets from cleavage. Yeah. He's kind of like his son's stargazing look or whatever.
So father and son have the same grin when ogling your breasts. That's a great bond.
I mean,
thing.
One's looking for dinner and the other's looking for dinner.
What's weird is the son is 8, so.
That's right. He's 16.
Show's website's in papasbasement.com. Go there for, I don't know, I think for a while we'll be back to 2 shows a week.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't? What were you doing?
Well, for a while we had been recording one Papa's Basement and one football show.
Yeah.
With me kind of like twisting in the wind for the second show.
I gotcha.
And I just could rarely get a hold of someone to record the second show with me. So we missed a bunch of them. Snow screwed us a couple
times.
Yeah,
the holidays. I mean, that's how the holidays. And then I was gone. I went to snowshoe. And then I was sick. I had that surgery and blah, blah, blah.
What surgery?
Yeah.
What surgery? Are you fully a woman now?
Almost.
Oh, congrats.
Almost.
I still saw the Adam's apple and was confused.
I'm too full. Why do you like make us so full before this show?
I don't tell Chipotle how much goodness to put in their
like if we're hungry then we come
troughs.
Hungry but you feed me before. It's better for after for me, I think.
Really?
Yeah,
I like it beforehand.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. If I'm too...
I know because you're happy. I mean, you when
well, if
you
I'm
get
like,
hungry
if
yeah.
I'm thinking all the time about like don't get me wrong, I shouldn't be eating like given my weight. I should be doing this show in the desert with like buzzards circling above me like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I'm like, is it time for my sip of water yet?
Yeah.
And instead, I'm just like, oh, I heard a gurgle when I was stretching. When I was on the can, I heard a tummy gurgle. Time to go to Chipotle.
That's because your mom. Your mom has food for every moment. Are you this much hungry, that much?
Oh, yeah.
And a coat for every degree of weather.
She coats
and food.
And junk food are like her fine wines. There's like a pairing.
Are you going out in that shirt? Here, take a sandwich and an umbrella.
Are you anxious, but is it a money anxiety?
Yeah.
Here's a junior mint and take some shark fruit snacks.
That's right.
Oh, did she dump you? Here's a Diet Coke and half a Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
She's a maestro like that.
She's good. She's fed me plenty.
Yeah. She's fed everyone. There's a reason I gained, I want to say, 15 pounds within 2 months of moving back home.
Oh, my.
And it's just kept on coming.
Wow.
She is a disgusting being like that. But I'm the pig that keeps
She
forking.
Loves us.
She and that's how us. She shows it. No real emotional capacity for it. Just here's the food.
Some tears sometimes.
Only that, to season the food.
That's right.
Your sadness stew.
Your McDonald's fish sandwich needs more sodium.
Salted with my tears, seasoned with all the visions I had for your boys' futures that have gone down to die.
You guys should travel more. I wish you would get out.
Oh, can we just do the mother's wishes for me episode?
Yeah, actually, coincidentally, John told me before the show he's traveling to New York and L.A. this year to do some field episodes of Papa's Basement.
Yeah, Howard's been pushing for this because I don't understand networking, and he kind of does. I don't meet new people.
Yeah, that's true.
I meet new porn.
I get on your case about that all the time. You don't even carry your cards with you.
I do. I gave them all away. They're like all out.
Yeah,
and so now I don't have to make any more. I gave away all of my Papa's Basement cards. All 100 new listeners? That's insane.
Yeah, that was what, over a year ago you got them.
Yeah, like 3, 4, 5.
7.
6.
Definitely the best way to get a national following to grow is to just give your cards out in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand that. You have to trick some seagulls into pecking them, and then they'll fly away and plant the seeds of listenership as far as their wings will take them.
But it does come in handy if you've been talking about the show, but he doesn't even really talk about the show enough. But when I do, and I have one, then I can give it out and say, hey, check us out.
Yeah.
And somebody that's in their pocket and they don't have to remember, well, was it Papa's Basement?
I talk about
whatever.
It somewhat, or at least...
not to strangers.
I don't talk about... Why do I want to talk to strangers?
Why not? You
They're
have a show.
They're scary.
They are. That's Maria talking.
They are.
Close your mouth and fill it with a sandwich.
If anyone,
don't talk to strangers.
If anyone shows any interest in you, reach into your pocket, grab some sand that you've been storing there, fling it in their corneas.
That's right. He's got mace. He doesn't have his business cards. He's ready to mace.
Pull a Dale Gribble. Pocket sand.
Oh,
I wish more than 6 people had watched King of the Hill because that reference would have killed.
I actually have been starting. I watch it sometimes in the evening, like right before I'm going to bed. I might pop the tube on and I catch something. It's funny to me.
Howard is what, like a 1 a.m. type show now? One of those
things
they put
on Fox. They made too much of it. Like my judge really stepped away the last couple seasons and it really kind of jumped the shark. So
it jumped the shark, but it was still good. Like, I still enjoy every last episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about the shtick that is enjoyable.
Yeah.
But
the characters were so well built and realized. Like, it got to the point they could do any little thing.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because of all the weight that went into building that character.
Yeah.
No, they were well about characters. I got to say, though, like, going back to The Critic, we were talking about that show.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was uneven. It wasn't, it could be hit or miss. But to me, like, that show at its finest, I would take any day over the best Simpsons episodes.
I wouldn't. I was trying to make a witty rejoinder. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. The only reason I said it is because I know.
If
that
you want to talk shark jumping, don't get me wrong. I watched every Critic that came out when it came out.
Yeah.
I followed it. I think it was initially
any, really.
On then Shut Up.
No Simpsons. No
He
Critic.
Has some bunions that need sucking and rubbing. And I'll take a seltzer with a lime. No ice. I watched it. I remember it started CBS or ABC, got S-canned, wound up on Fox for a couple more seasons.
Yeah.
They had to add a little girl and a divorced mom to make it like a little more acceptable. Because I think they literally saw this cartoon and they're like, oh, this has two New York Jews. That's not going to play in the heartland. And so they took like this Midwestern mom and her little blue-eyed daughter. But the whole thing didn't center around her not dating him. I think then they thought it bombed because it's like, oh, she fell in love with the wicked Jew. And then they pulled it off. But it was good.
I think I saw clips, but I haven't.
The first episode was so dead on.
Yeah.
Was so flawless.
But don't you think sometimes when that happens that it's like producers and other people who kind of try to meddle and try to please everybody?
That is absolutely what happened to that.
Adding
show.
The characters, that's like a sitcom hallmark of the writers have come up with everything they can using these characters. Let's add someone
but
else.
But the genuine structure that they had of, you know, his Critic character with like this loserish son. and these two parents that will never be happy with what he's amounted to in life.
I mean, that was fantastic. Funny. Yeah. God, I want to go back and watch it. Is it on Netflix? Do you know?
I don't know.
Allison?
No, I don't know.
Why not?
I don't really follow Netflix too much.
What?
I know. I was kind of stuck out in the sticks there for a little bit, so.
Watched my first episode of House of Cards yesterday.
Oh, I wanted to see. I just saw only the first. Oh, your first episode ever.
Middle of season two. I think it was like episode 11 of season two.
What? Why?
Oh, come on. Get out of here. What? Did I miss something?
Yeah, you missed everything.
So here's the real mark of a decent show.
No, don't say anything.
No.
Oh, okay.
This is just a general question.
Would you walk in here? I know you're a next generation nut. Would you walk in here, having seen the final episode, be like, I finally caught Star Trek. Not bad. Why did the black guy have that weird thing on his face? And that one character who acted really robotic, he was very sallow. What's up with his complexion?
It's just one of those things. Like,
who's this Q guy?
With his banana clip for glasses.
Oh, well, all that considered, not a bad show. I'm all caught up.
Here's why Next Generation's great. You can watch an episode multiple times and still enjoy it. If House of Cards is really a good show, there should be no problem with me jumping in midstream, going back to watch the beginning if I really enjoy it.
I would disagree.
Because if you can watch an episode twice, you're watching a crappy show.
I did agree.
That with Dexter, and I did that with Game of Thrones.
What, you went back?
Well, because I wasn't familiar with it, and I caught it with friends, and I thought, oh, wow, this is pretty good.
Exactly.
And it's not something that I would have picked up on either. And then I went back, and I started.
I did it with a couple things, where especially, I know Mad Men and Breaking Bad, where they came on Netflix, and right at that time, it was like season 4 was premiering of either show. So I was like kind of watching it live while also just crushing all the old ones trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Conversely, like Lost was a garbage show because I remember catching that like mid.
Oh, it was garbage. I'm with you.
Mid season 3. And I would watch it for
time.
I
know some people who would kill you for that.
Well, I tried. My mom got into it, and we have similar tastes, but I just could not get it.
Jumping in midstream, I was like, this is a soap opera. They invent garbage things.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The smoke monster. I'm just like, really? The smoke monster?
Yeah.
That sounds like something from Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, speaking of smoke monster.
Sounds like a good show.
Did you see the new, what do you call it?
Tommy Chong.
What? No, it's that horrible movie with the Katniss, whatever.
Cat piss?
Yeah. What's
Hunger Games?
Yeah. Did you
Catching
see the new
fire.
One? Horrible.
No, I saw the original
Trash.
When it was on Netflix, and it was 1 a.m.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I don't want to be alone with my thoughts about where I am in life for 1 second. Put this on.
And you were talking about the fog monster. That's what this is. And there's a scene. Do you want me to tell you?
Well, it's the Donald Sutherland
the book,
monster.
So.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
I mean, like
wow,
this.
Wow. Okay.
This fog, this poisonous fog comes through, and then they get like these massive witch wart boils all over their skin, and it just wipes off with water. Like, let me get you. They discover, hey, you want to erase it? Just put some water on it. I was like, what? They had boils all over themselves. They're like, oh, water, and their skin just goes back to normal.
Wait, I'm confused. Like, why wouldn't this cure transpire? Like, why wouldn't you find this in 5 seconds? Do they come from a future where you don't shower?
No, I'm just saying, like, they were in the forest, and there's a, you know, I guess water's kind of sparse on the island. They're kind of in the forest, and they're not right next
to. Are they
being
Hunger Gamed again?
Yes.
I guess you have
and
to get Hunger Gamed again.
That's poisonous fog.
If you're cat piss, and what's the other one's name? Poder?
And it just rinses off. I was like, what?
What's his name, goddammit, Howard?
Is it Petra or PETA?
I don't know.
PETA. That's it. PETA.
Oh, yeah.
Like pedophile.
And then in the Hunger Games, one guy has his, it's like his aunt or it's his mentor or whatever is on his team. And she's kind of a slack. You know, she's 150 years old. But I'm thinking, you know, this PETA, he keeps getting into trouble. He keeps getting boo-boos and everything else. He seems like a casualty. Let him go and save the old lady. But the one guy's carrying the old lady the whole time. You can tell, like, it's done. Like, they put all
Master Blaster.
It's all this big budget, and it looks like a cabbage patch with a white curly wig on his back the whole way. And I was like, seriously?
Someone skipped squat days is what you're telling me.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
Woody Harrelson's in it too, right?
Well, he was in the last one.
I don't like it.
But he's in the Thunderdome, isn't he? Don't they have him like also participating in the Hunger Games?
Kind of. I mean, he's,
they brought back
he's
like
still
a
mentor, but I mean, it's just.
I loved him in that role.
He had to get in the ring.
No.
It was very Munson-esque. Like, he used to be the sports figure of renown, and now he's just an alcoholic. He was literally Roy Munson again.
There was like this poisonous fog, then these crazy killer monkeys. And I was just thinking, you know what, this movie, where's Mark Wahlberg when you need? Where's the lone survivor guy? Come on, let's take care of this. Right. Yeah.
I don't understand.
I until this moment, hadn't put together that everyone except one person dies in Lone Survivor.
Wait, I thought the whole point...
Actually, it is pretty good. I liked it.
I thought second Hunger Games movie was all about, they have a celebration Hunger Games where they bring back all the past winners
they do.
For like a champ. Mm. So and why wasn't Woody in the... why didn't Woody Harrelson go?
Because
in?
I mean,
like my
it was
hammies
so,
are really tight.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry,
it was
I
so
can't die.
Boring. Like we were gonna leave. We were just like this blows.
Oh,
let's
you and your boyfriend,
out.
The lover. Who is this lover of renown?
This lover, we were gonna leave because it was so bad, but we wound up just sticking it out. But I think there was like kind
and
of.
And then
a
later he stuck it in, huh?
See came and went.
That wasn't funny.
Came and went.
I told her that horrible old Richard Pryor line.
It's not bad.
That was brilliant in 1972. And she was like, really? That's your Richard Pryor? Because yeah. I was just making a squawking voice and dropping N-bombs.
No, but there was some clause that got him out of it. But you're right. He should
have been.
The Santa
Claus.
Yeah.
I can't remember that yet.
I can't really remember because it was a terrible movie. And the way it ended was terrible. The whole thing
was
terrible.
Yeah, so I only read the second and third books because I watched the first movie.
This is like your M.O.
Had a decent time like with the first
Let's
movie.
Let's go crack open The Godfather Part 3
I
after
didn't really
this.
Care for the first one, but the second one was brutal. I mean, it was almost torture just to...
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean,
and then
after...
You think,
I thought
oh,
it had
maybe
like a really good Rotten Tomatoes rating.
I don't know. I just...
I hope not.
Having read the first... Or having watched the first movie and then read the second and third book, I'm just like, I don't really care if I catch these movies or not. Because
no,
like the third
horrible.
Book to me, all I could tell is that I think she already had the movie deal by this point because the end of the third book is very clearly almost scripted for a Hollywood ending.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, not
there's
all
a lot of
it,
skipping
like,
and frolicking. And
the action scenes, I'm just like, this has basically been designed for a Hollywood action script. Like,
they got
this
plastic
is not really,
swords. Yeah.
Oh, was it written like, a character that looks a lot like Sacha Baron Cohen enters? He has a silly wig.
I mean, there's this part in there where she, you know, they're in this dome and they're fighting and everything. And then she takes this thing and electrocutes the dome and then they lose surveillance of them. You know, they can't follow them and see who's alive and who's dead and everything. And I was thinking to myself, like, that's very Ben Franklin of her just to, you know,
tie a key to a kite?
Yeah, it was a sword, a metal thing and just shot it up there. And then the dome broke. Mm. And I was like, wow, this is Benjamin Franklin right here. It's like, this is so stupid. So
all
dumb.
This talking of violence has made me think of Ray Rice. There's a segue.
Wow.
There's a segue.
That was so smooth.
There's a segue.
Flawless.
Smooth as Katniss after 2 weeks in the forest.
You just ice luged it in there.
Probably looks like Khaleesi's hair down there for that amount of time.
I don't feel good.
I just want to rub Howard's nose in this as a Ravens fan, as a lover of Ray Rice.
I do like Ray Rice. I'm not the big. I wouldn't call myself a Ravens fan, as proven by this past season of mediocrity. I just didn't care, and I thought they deserved what they got for
absolutely
letting Anquan Boldin escape and overpaying Joe Flacco. But Ray Rice deserves his money, I still feel.
Even though I was blown away. It was what, 600 something yards and 4 touchdowns. I had no idea it was that bad a season for him.
He had a terrible season.
It was bad. It was something like 2.5-3 yards per carry.
I'm going to give him a mulligan. Hopefully he bounces back next year.
How old is he?
27, I think.
He can.
Yeah.
He can. He's not 30, which in running back years is 65.
So stop talking about football. Talk about the TMZ-esque story that goes along with Ray Rice.
Absolutely.
Oh, what is it?
Last week, I was reading Pro Football Talk. Like Howard said, we're getting away from football.
Okay.
And it was mentioned, just one of the articles they tossed up, like Ray Rice in quote-unquote very minor physical altercation with fiance. And I guess it was getting leaked by his lawyer maybe to squelch anything that was coming in the future. Was it leaked by his camp, Howard?
I don't know. I purposely avoid these types of stories.
What was coming out was like, look, Ray did something physical with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But it was like the lightest thing possible. And so at first.
Just a few light slams.
Well, at first I'm like, oh, all right. He's like 4 feet tall, but he is muscular as hell. And she's a woman.
Oh, golly. So he just broke one finger. He just got Trinity Killer on her.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know, things can happen. Maybe, like, she got in his face and he just shoved her away. Yeah. And she fell. He didn't know his own strength.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'll let it wait until more news comes out. Well, more news has come out.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
It's not so good.
I did hear this part. I heard
a few light slams with a cinder block.
There's definitely video footage of him pulling her.
There's not just the news. There's also video footage. So at first it comes out, this wasn't just like a minor, he shoves her back.
How'd this grand piano get on my head?
He apparently cold cocked her and drops her like a sack of potatoes.
Wait, they don't have video footage of that.
No, no, but that is apparently what happened. All they have.
Their closed fist?
I mean, what they have footage of.
Who's going to slap?
If you can
somebody
slap a bitch unconscious, I'm impressed.
He's a football player.
Yeah.
So this video, we don't know what happened in the elevator.
Oh.
All we have is a footage.
She tripped.
Of what takes place at the bottom of the elevator. Where Ray Rice sticks his arms underneath this blacked out broad's armpits.
Oh, she
drags
tripped.
Her out and then just drops her again. And you can see he's saying something along the lines like, get up, bitch.
Hers tripped. Hers got spaghetti legs.
He's obviously drunk.
Of course.
In the first place.
Of course. I never like alcohol as an excuse, but it is.
Yeah.
It's like if we're going
to use.
It's
not an excuse. It's an explanation in part of how do people get themselves into these like idiotic situations where they clock their fiancé in public.
Just don't drink. So many people love the sauce.
It's not an excuse. It's an explanation. It sounds like he's been down this road.
Nah, it's just like.
I seem to remember your puking story. We won't go there. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation.
The only violent
tendency I have. We could make a montage
I
of
have.
Him saying that to exes.
The only violent tendency I have when I'm drunk is like projectile vomiting. That's the only thing where it's just like, oh, just stay away from him tonight. It's going to be a rough one. Yeah.
I'm not violent. Apparently, the last time I got blackout drunk, this will be especially weird to Allison because you know how I don't like strangers. Apparently, I was just like hitting on everything that moved in the bar.
Even the.
I was just like, give me your Facebook name. And apparently, I wasn't horribly obnoxious, but like I just kind of wouldn't take no for an answer. So I just had all these new Facebook friends when I sobered up.
Wow.
And then I hit them all up and they all just like deleted me within a day or something like that. Like couldn't stand what I had done to secure those names.
Oh, my.
That cracks me up, though. That footage is just a GIF that plays over and over.
The reality of. Like what I understand. So let's just look at what is being said because I think even this deserves some discussion.
Yeah.
They're saying that they had a mutual physical altercation where, let's just say,
a mutual physical altercation with someone who's nine feet tall. So let's just start here.
Let's say she hit him first, which is what the story from his camp is going to be, obviously. Like,
of course.
She hit him first.
Okay.
And then he hit her back.
Okay.
Does that change your view of the fact that? Like, he hit a woman.
Just so doesn't change it?
No.
I mean,
he's nine feet tall.
I've gotten physical with a chick once, and she was all over me. And I mean, like, injuring me. And I still didn't punch her. I just gave her a very, very, very good shove. And that was the extent of it. That is the extent of anything I've done with a chick. To knock a broad out?
Yeah.
I mean, if he shoved her and she hit her head, it's a little... less iffy.
Yeah.
But I mean, if she's got a shiner.
I don't really believe anyone should really get physical. Even guys. I think, you know, what are you? And what are you, kids? I mean, when you're two, you know right. what I mean? And your 3-year old brother steals your tricycle or pushes you off. Yeah.
How did you know about that?
Yeah, well, it happens. But I'm just saying anything beyond that. I've worked with kids, teenagers. One was 14, one was 16. And they were playing basketball. Everything was happy. And honky dory, they're all getting along. Then something was said, whatever, and they're down there just beating one another. But I was like, you guys
dunk like a bitch.
I was like, you guys are too big for this. And it's even worse as you get older.
My physicality with Will went away. Yeah. 12, 13.
I mean, you just walk away. I mean,
after a certain point, like you're fighting your sibling, And it's just like, wow, we still do this?
But I mean, to hit a woman especially, I mean, just walk away. Just let it go. Just whatever.
I mean, sadly, this is just...
I mean, when you're drunk and you're high or whatever. So those are...
When you're high, you're equally awesome. Continue.
This is unfortunately common enough where you had to have a lot of state legislatures enact laws that say whenever there is a report of domestic violence, you have to arrest whoever... perpetrated like the assault. So in this case, maybe they will go after both. They're at least going after Ray for sure, but a lot of states, they say like, listen, we show up, two people are drunk, somebody called the police, and now they're telling us to go away. It doesn't matter, once we're called we have to arrest somebody, and then like we'll sort things out tomorrow possibly, but in a lot of places they're forcing prosecutors to go after people no matter what, because you just can't trust in a domestic dispute like this when there's physical violence that the situation will be resolved internally. You really do have to make sure that there's not.
When she answers the door with her shiner and you just ask, did you deserve this? And if she blinks while she says yes, then you know something's up. Otherwise, get away.
No, I mean, they used to just go. And then I guess they were tired of people dying when the police left, because then they got their ass whooped even worse to the point of death.
Yeah.
So that's why they started to have to pass these laws where it's like, nah, one of you's got to come with us.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to at least sober up tonight, or we're going to like investigate this a little bit further. So we're not just going to let domestic disputes go unpunished by the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
Because they used to. They just used to say like, all right, you guys are married or together. Somebody's pissed. You're both drunk. We don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's just so primeval. I don't know how else to put it, man. Like, just doesn't it blow you away that it's 2014? There's still people together that can't stand each other so much.
The instant
the sauce hits your lips, you're knocking her out. Like, why?
No, why would you do that? I mean, why do adults do that? I just think you can walk away. You can just, you know, time out. I'm done. You know, you got your whatever. Call someone. He's got a bazillion dollars. Call your driver. Whatever.
I mean, the best statements by police officers in favor of legalizing weed is like this idea that, hey, you know, you're not going to increase the number of calls that I get on a weekend for domestic disputes between couples who got violent because they smoked too much weed. I think for cops, like, they wouldn't mind as much. Like, their jobs would be so much easier if people didn't drink. Because that's the problem.
It's the root of, like, everything. It bowls me over. It really blows my mind that people can make an argument for liquor and against weed. I'll kind of excuse it if you're so old that you grew up with like marijuana, the devil's herb, causes sterility and will turn your skin to a Negro's, you know, that kind of stuff. That maybe I'm like, all right, it's the same way like a really old bitch will be like, I won't buy that Jap car. Like, if you live through Pearl Harbor, I get it.
Yeah,
but have you seen what alcohol does?
Yeah.
Have you been to a bar ever in the history of ever?
I know. I agree. It's stupid.
Like, pot addicts.
Yeah.
You can deal with a pot addict. They're laid back.
I mean, the only thing that...
they need a constant supply of Adult Swim.
I should rep for the people who do drink.
And toothpicks to help hold their eyes open.
Yeah.
I don't want your listeners who go out and enjoy more than a few like beverages out on the town.
Yeah.
I don't want to alienate them because I'm one of those people too. But I will say, like, there should be this transition. I've been dealing with this recently in my mind where I'm in a relationship now. I met my girlfriend while on the bar scene.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, for me, and I think a lot of people have this difficult transition.
Yeah.
When you're single and on the bar scene, it's a lubricant. It's a social lubricant. It's the way to meet people.
Not for me.
Well, for the people who do it, you gotta keep in mind. All right, so for people who do it
that
way,
we can't all be queen personality.
For people who still rely on the bar scene to meet people,
some of us can't meet someone 18 seconds later, be borrowing their car, be like, "Look, do you have those baby wipes I like in the toilet?"
That was you 5 minutes ago.
But if you meet someone that you don't want to just have them be strange, you actually want them to be a little familiar.
Yeah.
All right. Then that's a moment when you have to say, maybe we should go out less because this has kind of fulfilled its purpose.
But
maybe booze shouldn't play as much of a light role in our lives now that we're like seeing each other more. Right?
I've never been drunk, but I wouldn't say, I know.
What?
But isn't, you know this already.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know I've never been drunk. Not once,
I
ever.
I kind of forget that sometimes.
No, I've
There's
never
just so
have.
Much weird that comes out of your mouth. You're like, Ray Rice, one time I rode a dragon, and just you can't slip that in there.
Got my cape caught in an elevator.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, but it's kind of like, isn't
it? Is it because your mom had like issues with the sauce and you're just afraid
of it? It just
was
never really appealed to me. I don't really like the taste of it. I mean, if it's subtle, I don't mind it in something or I cook
with
it.
I mean, I've seen, you've had like margaritas with me before.
Never, I've never had a margarita.
Yeah, you did. We drank it out of like a dish pan together. It was called a hubcap margarita or whatever.
What did you say? Oh, I was thinking bedpan for a second. You said dish pan. I was like, I don't think that was me.
Tip it to your lips.
Ew.
Looks like the UFO from Flight of the Navigator.
That was a party I wasn't at. But yeah, you're right. That was a margarita. So that maybe was my first one. Maybe a sip or something.
The bedpan margarita sounds so foul.
Actually, a lot of nurses, when
I don't want to hear this story. Over.
A lot of nurses will drink out of urinals, clean ones. Oh. So they'll put iced tea and stuff. So you'll see them all around the nurses station just sipping out of urinals. And it just looks
not a urinal. You mean
like a portable hand urinal. Yeah, that you take and you hang on the bedside. Right.
Because for a second you said that and I was picturing like the way they put ice in a ballpark urinal. It just like sizzles throughout the day.
Do you happen to have any unused ones? Because I drive a lot between Baltimore and D.C. I could really use that
actually,
on the drive
I think
down.
You all can. And they have a nice snap cap. So if
can
it
you
tips,
get me some?
See what I can do. You can actually purchase one. You can buy one probably at CVS.
That's bad mojo.
You just tell people it's for your grandfather.
No, just give me one and it isn't bad luck. If I buy a urine, I'll be bedridden in 2 seconds. It's like,
it's for the car.
I want to buy some.
That's Maria talking.
I want to buy some AZT. Don't. Oh, I'm sorry. How far along is your AIDS? No reason. Just wanted to see the pill. That's how you get your positive test the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't buy Band-Aids.
You were one of those 10-year cases.
You're asking to lose a finger.
Yeah, it's the same way I don't replace my brakes. One day I might need them.
Ay. I'm just saying. It's ridiculous. Anyway, where were we going with that?
Oh, God. I thought you were going to bail us out.
No, domestic disputes based on alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
They're
so
bad.
That's my question.
I wanted to say. No. I am not in favor of them.
My question is, though, like when you're hypnotized or when you're drunk... Doesn't it still run?
Equally common states continue.
For me, I've never been either one. But I'm saying they say you wouldn't do anything. You
just in case you live next door to the amazing Jonathan.
You wouldn't do anything. You know, you wouldn't have a tendency to do sober.
And that's the one concern because people are... acting out upon
like I
violent...
don't swear, so if I was hypnotized or drunk, I don't think I would just start f-bombing it up. I mean, that's not something natural to me. But if someone does get angry and it, you know, has thrown a fist or whatever when
it's
sober,
weird though.
Then
like,
you can kind of exasperate it when you're drunk. I'm asking. You guys have been there,
I
don't know.
No, I'll put you through it. One time, remember when Will got knocked out for like emergency? Was it an appendectomy or hernia?
Yeah.
What was it?
That was not an appendectomy. That was.
What did he lose?
He's well,
like,
he did lose.
They put
his
like
appendix.
A vaginal mesh in his tummy. What was it for?
Hernia repair.
It was a hernia.
Yeah,
okay.
But he had the appendectomy. That was another time he was in the hospital.
He's had two surgeries.
Yes.
Like recently.
Yes, he had the appendectomy. I was
he
with him
to
for
brush
that.
Better.
He brushes. He has exemplary oral hygiene. He's very good about that. But then
he's eating the bristles. Then I don't know what's going on here.
But he's had a dual hernia repair, and that's when he was in the hospital going apes bananas.
Yeah, they.
But he
him
does
one time.
Have that tendency to throw a fist or whatever when he's angry.
But okay, to get very real and not to get him in trouble.
Yeah.
Certain words that
Nicki
Minaj used in her latest heavily were apparently hurled left and right. But
he uses them regularly.
But like not in an actual angry way.
It doesn't
not like
matter
it
because
simmers
it's exasperated.
In Will.
That's like him cold cocking his girlfriend.
Not to pull back the curtain, but he and I really aren't racist. It would be like me saying it left and right where I'm not racist. Like the word amuses me to no end.
Yeah.
But to actually hurl it at
but
a black
in a sense,
person in anger would be very foreign.
When
you
are under the influence, those are words that you do use and you do say them out loud. And it is
yeah, but
funny.
Like in a Richie incognito to pouncy kind of way.
But if we were in a cave somewhere and we were frightened, you might say those things. You
what,
know what I mean?
Like, Why would I say that?
Because cavemen are racist.
Do saber-toothed tigers hate to be called the N-bomb?
No, but I'm saying if you're fearful and you're in a...
filthy N-word woolly mammoth moving into the cave next to mine. Son's going to start dating my daughter.
No, property value in my cave is just going to go
out. And you're afraid and he drops the flashlight down a crack and you can't get it. You might say, hey, you... slant-eyed, whatever.
I say that playfully.
Right, but you're angry.
The show.
You're upset and you're angry.
We put our hands in the middle and we go on three.
But you're upset and you're angry and you'd be like, you slant-eyed, whatever, I shouldn't have given you that flashlight. Open your eyes wider, blah, blah, blah. Or whatever, but you're saying it in anger. You're upset and you're mad now and those are words that you use or whatever. So for William to do
really
that.
I racial for anger, though. I do it for amusement.
You do in traffic. Have you heard yourself in traffic? You N-word this.
It's because
you
have nothing else that you can do against that person. They're a stranger.
I don't think
I
drive that much in traffic.
You
I usually
do.
Just call people you piece of S, like a blanket thing.
But I'm just saying.
I'll go with gender.
I go with gender first, and then
yeah.
I go to race. That's
right.
That's usually like I blame women
but
for
I'm
bad
saying,
driving
my point
first
is those
before
are words
I resort
that you
to
use.
The race
those are expressions
man.
That you throw out. So when you're under the influence, then that can come out. If you're known to throw a punch or when you're angry or whatever... which William has, and he was throwing some punches back there, too. He just wasn't saying naughty things.
Yeah, no, I mean...
he was trying to knock some people out.
In our daily lives...
He was all kung fu.
In our society, in our daily lives, we're expected to not be violent, and all of us are pretty good at getting by without, like, acting on those, like, violent urges to react.
But I'm saying, like, he said he turned into the kissy fairy when he was drunk, but you are very affectionate with your girlfriend, and you like to cuddle up
That's
and
true.
Whatever. So for you to get drunk...
Inhibitions are loosened, yeah.
Right. So I'm saying... if for him
I also like farting a lot when alone, and I do that while drunk, too, so...
Again, I mean,
give this man another beer.
Maybe
trumpet.
You're onto something.
The thing about like society having moral standards of behavior,
they suck.
Is they're designed to let people know what is not acceptable, despite the fact they might want to do it.
Yeah,
and so that's the thing with like violence against anyone.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it's
if I
illegal.
Was trash, I don't think that I'd be punching people or stabbing them.
But you
or
have
whatever.
To remember that humans have evolved over centuries.
Yeah.
Millennia, really, before we had gunpowder, right? And during that period, there was a lot of physical combat and warfare. And so we have this evolutionary history of basically killing each other. And now we're asking people in modern society to turn that off. So it doesn't surprise me in the least that people are having trouble turning it off. I mean,
no,
we punish it as a society as we should.
I mean, with addiction and all of that or whatever, and you like your buzz and you like your high or whatever. Like, I get all of that, but I'm just saying... if I were trashed, I don't know. I think it sense you're saying it loosens.
You sounded like
up.
A 40-year-old mother talking to her hippie son.
Yeah, that's
you
me.
You like your buzz and your highs, but when they're all gone, where will you be?
You'll have a lot of raincoats. That's where you'll be. And plenty of nourishment.
Oh, are we talking about my mom and the 46 jackets I have?
46 jackets.
Well, this is leather, but it has a hood for the rain. Just don't wear leather out in the rain. I'm like, what's the point then?
All the MRE she's storing up in case they lose power.
Oh, you mean
or she dies.
The cans of tomato. Just diced tomato.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We don't. What gets me, this is just my mom's food hoarding, we'll move past it. What gets me, we don't even eat the old ones sequentially. Like, if the old ones migrated to the front of the sea of cans, I'd be okay with that. But it's just like 60 cans that were from the Carter presidency.
Yeah.
You're like brands that don't exist anymore.
That's right. Zippy tomatoes. Screw Hunts. Let's have these Zippies. That is true. It is like, I was like, do you have any? And he's like, don't reach your hand back there.
Yeah.
Like, don't go back in that cup. Just eat.
Dust on top of it like it was stored in a wood shop. You know what I mean? And it's just the front row of cans that gets interchanged over and over.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
Back to you two.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, with Ray and his fiance, I think that there are two types of people in the world. When you feel like you got your back to the wall. You're either a fighter or you take flight. Yeah. Fight or flight is basically one of those ways that we all react
but a
to
little,
stressful situations.
A little broad when you're a running back.
Yeah. But I'm just
neither.
Saying, like, I don't. I
it's
just
like
don't
a
think
butterfly inspiring fight or flight.
But I think, like, she's a fighter too. This is what I'm saying. I think both of them are
then
fighters.
Then you just leave. Then you just leave. Then you.
But
don't...
they were in the elevator.
That's something that he's got to work on. I mean, it's obvious that he's got. Do you want to execute him now, basically, because he's hit a woman? Is this the sort of thing like we should remove him from the face of the earth now? No, like, is he not allowed to?
We do
like...
20 minutes on a podcast about it. That's all. I mean,
I'm just saying. But like, what's he supposed to do now? So like, he hit his fiance while he was drunk.
What
does
will
that mean? He can never date anybody
what
else again?
Should?
Is he just supposed to like be castrated?
That.
Like, I don't understand. Like,
I believe
yes,
a
he made
leopard,
a mistake.
Yeah, leopard can change its spots.
What? First of all, you can say he made a mistake about anything.
Yeah.
Like, Ted Bundy made a lot of mistakes. As for Ray Rice, yeah, I don't want him, like, chemically castrated. Like, he's got a heart like Gary Glitter or something like that.
I mean, I'm okay with New Jersey prosecuting him. I'm okay with this going forward at the moment. Yeah. We don't know what the evidence is yet, but based on what I've seen, they had to indict him. They just had to. So.
Yeah, absolutely. They couldn't let... Atlantic City looked like a Sodom and Gomorrah. Come here, get drunk, beat your bitch, enjoy a $3 lobster tail.
Let your woman.
That's what our crack whores are for.
Yeah.
Let your woman tumble out of an elevator like a gumball coming out of a machine.
Okay.
Oh, did I lose that? That's mine.
I mean, yeah, they had to do something. And it's. I'm kind of the school of thought, really, if a dude is established that he beats a woman and you know this and you date that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, it's on you, sister, at that point. Now, she might have not known that, but I'm going to guess this isn't the first time things have gotten
physical. Right. No, that's the other thing. That's the strong inference. But, I mean, I just, looking at these kinds of situations, you have to ask, how do people move forward when they make, like, a really big mistake in their lives? I mean, a classic example, I used to consult.
They host a radio show with their friends. Go on.
I used to consult with ex-felons, like, coming out of prison. And so one of the big problems is, like, you're a sex offender, for example, and you can't, like, live within a certain number of feet from a school. Like, you're really not supposed to be, like, in certain places and all that. So how do you go on a first date at that point? Like, at what point in dating someone do you reveal, by the way, when I was 25, I was convicted of a violent sex offense when I had sex with a 15-year-old. Like, I had a guy like that come in and talk to me about it, where he was like, basically, from what I can tell, the only way for me to have a life is to leave Virginia so I'm no longer listed as
licensed as a sex offender.
Or he's no longer registered sex he's no longer registered as a violent sex offender if he lived in another state. So at least he would be considered nonviolent for statutory rape. Whereas in Virginia, like, age 15 gets you a violent sex offense, whereas in other states it doesn't. So for him, he really had to leave the state in order to, like, be a normal citizen, because while living here, he really, like, had issues with interacting with possible employers, you know, dating girls, where it's just like, no, this is an issue. Like, when I live in Virginia, like, anybody who dates me is gonna have to deal with the fact that I'm considered a violent sex offender here.
I wish I could call my friend. I don't think she'd discuss it on the air. I think I've mentioned this once or twice, but I do know a broad who dated a guy right before he wound up on To Catch a Predator.
Dang.
The very first episode.
Oh,
He didn't make the final cut because he sprinted as soon as he saw the guy.
Yeah.
But it somehow, I was talking to her last night. I was checking in on her, and she told me the story, like, in more detail than I'd ever heard before. And it turns out he was texting a girl who said she was 16.
Yeah.
Which, get this, in Virginia, that alone gets you on the registry list. Just like sex texting, a.k.a. sexting. I just invented that right now. a broad who's underage will get you on the damn registry.
Pornography.
Not even pictures.
It's child pornography, man. Oh, sexting. Oh.
No. Like, kid pictures, I understand. If, like, some girl texts you is like, I'm 16. I want to blow you, and you're like,
"Are you Shaquille O'Neal?"
And you're like, "Well, okay, that's nice. I admire the sentiment. I think, like, that alone could get you in trouble."
I think it can get you in trouble. I can see that, but I mean, I think if you're aware that it's a teenager, then you should.
But
be
what
aware
if?
Of
yeah,
the conversation.
I'm not saying he was innocent. He went along with this, obviously. Yeah. But I'm saying that's creepy. Like, what if someone, like, accidentally texts you?
Yeah.
And you're just, like, playing along at first. Because I've had that happen. I remember one time I just woke up to pictures of jugs from this number I didn't recognize on my phone. I'm like, this is the greatest Saturday ever.
But you're not aware that's a 12-year-old or 16.
Nah, she turned out to be, like, 5 years older than me. But I think, like, you could get in trouble for that, according to this. I don't think awareness has to do with it. You can.
Yeah, it can, I think. I mean, you can't.
Because if
I just sent you an anonymous thing.
Yeah.
And I'm 16. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, nudes or suggestive.
You go, but the instant you're going back and forth, I think you're screwed. Now, it's the same way.
It's a little more difficult with text. With text-based sexting versus, I think it's obviously
something
you're
strictly
liable
for. Well,
I know
in real life, like
if
some chick looks totally of age and it's like, are you 18?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You're physically in connection with that person as opposed to like I'm using electronic transmission.
And you can ask
to
see their ID. You know what I mean?
That's a mood killer.
Okay. So is jail.
That's a mood killer. You're like, you said yes to them harvesting your organs. They don't work hard to save you if you say yes, dummy. My firm belief, by the way.
Oh, my. That's not true.
You go in for a car wreck and you said yes to the organ harvesting.
Yeah, that's Maria talking again.
Oh, yeah.
She's in the studio today.
I believe there's like a queue of three of you waiting to get into triage. It's like, all right, which ones are cool with going to the great hereafter?
Yeah, we got someone who needs a kidney.
Just put ice packs on those guys. Slow them down.
No, that's not nice.
But he showed up, and he chickened out the first night. Like, he actually got to the house after they had shut down. Like, he was texting this girl, and she goes quiet, and they're supposed to meet at 9. At 1 a.m., he finally shows up to the address.
Yeah.
And you're getting vibrating texted, by the way. Oh. Put that in your lap. Give yourself a treat and don't distract me. I can feel it through the desk.
It's been sitting here the whole time. You were texting this whole episode. What are you talking about?
I can handle those things. That's me being
the cause. I don't even have
it
in my hand.
Yeah, but I can feel the vibration and it weirds me out.
Oh, golly, Ned.
He shows up at 1, and I guess the guy who the house really belonged to him, or he was like, he was part of the sting, but they'd shut down for the night, sees him. He's like, and the guy's like, is Michelle here?
Wow.
And he's just like, ugh, get out of my face. Go home, dude. And she texts him the next day and is like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I came by. Who is this mysterious guy? Like, how dumb are you? You're trying to screw a 16-year-old and some random adult male was like, get the F out of here. Yeah. And she's just like, oh, that was my uncle. He'll be gone tomorrow. Come on by. And of course he comes by the next day, like with the beer and condoms and whatever the hell.
Oh man.
And got busted. And long story short, he lost his contracting. He was a government contractor, making like 6 figures. He lost that. I believe had to like move to Kentucky where they wouldn't exactly frown on like, what you were trying to get with a 16-year-old? And you know.
Yeah, Virginia's like one of the toughest states.
It's weird because everyone thinks of us as the South. I guess this is my proof that we're not. Where I'm trying to explain, like, Northern Virginia is very different.
Yeah.
No, it's the whole state of Virginia is different from the rest of the South in many respects.
I'm just saying, they'll nail you for a 16-year-old in Virginia.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in deep trouble.
If I understand, just to be, like, a total buzzkill, but if I understand the history correctly, I think the last lynching in Virginia occurred in Roanoke in the 19th century. So while you had, like, all these other
crazy...
I thought
you were going to say the
1970s. No. I was with you. I was like, what?
No, that's, like, that's Mississippi. You're talking, like, the Deep South. So, like, the rest of the South is going crazy during the Civil Rights era. And in Virginia, like, it did not amount... It did not reach that level of violence here. So, I mean, we were still racist as freaking heck.
As fudge.
You've actually already dropped an F-bomb. I had to...
What?
Yeah, you did.
When?
It was much earlier in the show.
Come on, man. Hold up the sign that says F.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, because you can mark it.
Yeah. When?
It was when you were at the bar drunk and you were just asking everybody for their number.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, it was in that section.
Okay.
Because the way that you talked to girls when you were drunk that night apparently included the F-bomb.
Well, guess who gets to listen to this episode and email me and tell me where that was.
There's no way. I have no time. I have no time for this. I'm already losing half a day to this handsomely paid gig. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's
but.
Right.
Where once a month I take you out for an $8 lunch. Well, we can wrap this episode up.
Oh, good.
I know. We got there. Let's. Is this the song I wanted? Damn it. Work, SoundCloud. Oh, you're killing me.
Okay.
I think this is it. This is the
I
one.
Have no idea.
Yeah, it's no, this wasn't the one I wanted. Never mind. Just another Gray Sky Eternal song because I don't have to pay for them and they're good.
Okay.
That works. You've listened to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood.
What?
And Allison Frank. InPapa'sBasement.com is the show's website. Go there for a couple episodes every week, usually Monday and Thursday, but I'm not making any promises as of late. On Twitter, I'm at Papa's Basement. He is at What the F in Heezy. I guess you can just like tweet me to find out what John that Speed, is.
Yeah.
And Allison is at Allison Frank, A-L-L-I-S-0-N Frank. That's about it. Find us on iTunes, please. If you can, subscribe there. Give us a good rating. And look up pfpod.com. That's Papa's Football Podcast if you're browsing that on iTunes as well. Till the next episode.
Woo!
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm